time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Off and running. Mitch, Paul, Matt Humans back in the VSiN studios today, South Point Sportsbook. Good to talk to you. We are loaded as always. We'll talk some UFC betting with a guest coming up, Jordan Sherwood, in an hour. We have Bruce Marshall on soccer today. Mike Palm's going to join us, as will Chris Andrews, South Point Sportsbook director. Well, finally, fellas, we got some updated news yesterday with one of the major four sports on this continent, as the NHL and Gary Bettman, the commissioner of that sport, had a press conference yesterday, and they announced a bunch of things. One included, hey, nice job actually deciding right now, as June is approaching, that we're not going to move ahead any further with the regular season. That's done. Put the kibosh on that. So we love that idea. Training camp is going to resume no sooner than July 1st, and 24 teams would be in this, quote, playoff format. In terms of what that means out here in Las Vegas and other markets, right? Are they going to grade the yes-no playoff props? Are they going to grade, well, sports books now talking, division winners? Every book is going to be different. We do have some new stuff, Paulie, but I think it's going to all be fascinating. And by the way, it comes down to the official language of how the NHL is going to consider this, I guess, round-robin play-in, Rob.
I don't know why. Did somebody send an email? I don't know how the league doesn't address this, whether they're saying these are division champs. Well, the teams think they're division champs. You know, put those tweets up. Look at the St. Louis Blues and look at the Golden Knights right away. Hey, we're the division champs. Let's go. So unless there was a minimum amount of games or a stipulation in the house rules like the Westgate had, I would think, you know, we got to wait on the league, but I would grade that a winner. We didn't play 30 games. We played 65, 67 games. There's the Blues. Hey, haven't played in a while, but we clinched the Central Division. Who's ready to defend the cup? I agree. The Knights did the same thing. I think yesterday could be a very important day. That Bettman rose up and Bettman had a great day with this plan, and we could see baseball on the same day become a garage league and replace the NHL. Bad day for Major League Baseball and a great plan with hockey. And now let's see if we can actually get games here. And we got looking at two hub cities and how they're going to put this together on the qualifying round. But you're right. It was a mess on social media yesterday where Caesars thought they were going to have to grade 24 teams with the yes, no to make the playoffs and 24 teams getting in, which would have been an unmitigated disaster. But as it turns out, they are calling this the qualifying round. With the best of five to start.
Yeah, and I think that's the right way to do it. You can't put 24 teams in the playoffs, yeah. So you got to call this a qualifying round to get to the final 16, and those are the playoff teams. As far as the division champs, hey, the regular season's over. So, yeah, the Knights are champs, the Blues are champs, but how do you grade that at the sports books, depending on the house rules, how they're written? I think most books require 81 or 82 games to be played, somewhere between 80 and 82. But I think the division champs actually should be paid off.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I think those bets should be paid. And as far as the playoff props, you can't pay out 24 playoff teams. Come on. I think this is going to change the way, Mitch, that a lot of sportsbook directors word these props in the future. Because let's say the NFL has a shortened season, you know, and you have the yes-no NFL playoff props up and something like this happens. You can't pay off all those playoff props. So I think you have to be a little bit more careful in the future in how you word those props.
Well, originally, Jeff Davis from Caesars, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I reached out to a bunch of books, but he used the word massacre to describe the result of the yes-no on the props, assuming that all 24, because of their house rules, right? And he said, well, first of all, the public bets the yes on every single team. So if you're going to get 24 out of 31 teams in the playoff, right, like you're going to just going to get hit over the head with a shovel. And then they were on the Blackhawks making it. And so they're clearly out of the playoffs in a regular season format. But because of the pandemic and they were going to accept 24 teams, and the stipulation house rules reads, quote, all league decisions are final for betting purposes. Bets will be refunded if playoffs don't exist. But like you said, and there was a back and forth. I know Pierre had this up in Canada right away. They're not going to be playoff teams, right? It's a qualifying round, and all 24 will not. The teams that win the qualifying round will then be considered playoff teams. And then he tweeted out to follow this. Let me clarify. Hold on. Another source says it's still being discussed whether or not the round robin style qualifies as a playoff team. Welcome into the program today. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Humans, We are opening up today's program talking about yesterday's decision by the NHL.
You know, I'm with Matt, too, and I know the South Point came out and Chris Andrews tweeted they're grading division winners, and that's going to count. They didn't have a minimum amount of games on it. And I'm surprised the Westgate and other places, which everything's a refund, is saying you have to play 81 or 82. I think the Westgate's 82, and that surprises me. You're telling me you could have a 20-point lead late in the season with a week to go? There could be an incident with the ice or something, and a game's canceled. They don't make up, and it's a refund? Yeah. I think that's ridiculous. Again, we've played 65, 67 games here. So I think, and now, what do we do now, Matt? We wait on the league here in the next couple of days to announce or determine if they're going to recognize these teams as division champs. It's just it's a weird situation. And you see the tweet from Todd Dewey, the MGM, is also saying, we know points totals, that's a refund. But and I talked to Nick Bogdanovich yesterday too. He's like Caesars. William Hill and Caesars still waiting on what they're going to do with the division champs and what the NHL is going to say and what they're going to say and come out and recognize or not recognize.
Well, as a bookmaker, I think you put yourself at the mercy of the league when you don't word the prop the right way, right? So you're talking about the playoff props. You should word these in the future. Let's talk about the NFL, for instance. Teams must play at least 14 regular season games for action or 16 regular season games for action in terms of the yes-no playoff props. And then it doesn't matter what the league says. If the league says, hey, these are all playoff teams, it doesn't matter because they didn't play the minimum number of games for the books in Vegas to have to pay out those props. Because let's face it, those 20, you can't have 24 playoff teams. But you're kind of at the mercy of the NHL right now if you're a bookmaker. If they say, oh, we're going to call this the playoffs, you pretty much have to pay out those props because you didn't word the rules properly.
Yeah, this is a big deal, Mitch. Mitch, we were updating this every day on the show because so many books were falling asleep and not updating odds to win the division in hockey. I mean, the Flyers were like, so one guy got the Flyers at like 20-1. Remember, the Flyers came out of nowhere, were playing great hockey, and had a 9-game winning streak. And then they lost on the final game before the shutdown. They were shut out of home against the Bruins. Yep. If they win that game, they're in first place. And then these 2015, I got 12-1. All those tickets cashed. They finished 1 point behind the Capitals. We were going back and forth on the Blues. The Blues finished ahead of Colorado by 2 points with one big game in hand, which turned out to be very big. So I mean, this is going to be very important how they decide to grade this because there were some juicy prices out there, Mitch, on some of these teams and we were also saying, I mean, that the Blues were a perfect example and Mike Palm wants to cash the ticket. He's losing his mind because he was excited when the Blues had their tweet. Mike found like $1.50 to win the division when they had a 10-point lead. 10-point lead. Yep. And they were $1.50 to win the division in some spots.
It's one of the reasons why I love betting the NHL so much. If you shop around, a lot of the books might not, they drop the ball on it. I mean, Paul, I remember the Flyer stuff on a Friday night. It was in February. I'm staring at them on an app at 30-1 to win their division. I looked at them like, wait a second, they're 5 points back. By the next week, it was down to, I can't remember exactly the number, but it was like 3-1 maybe to win the division. So it vanished that quickly. And some of the winners that I potentially have, I have the Blues plus 140 and plus 125. I grabbed the Golden Knights plus 240 and the Bruins minus $2 when Tampa Bay cut it down. Now I also have some losers and some Flyers that I took, but you know, I'm kind of hoping that this is not all going to be a refund situation because I'm going to come out as a winner in the long run if they don't. So I need these tickets to be graded hopefully sometime soon by like, yeah, those are going to be the winning tickets, but it's the numbers change so rapidly in hockey. It was incredible.
Yep. And I found the Knights at 3-1. To win the division when they were going through all their issues. And they have a 3-point lead over the Oilers. I mean, there's some other possible bad beats here too. I mean, several good tweets. What if you had the Penguins, yes, to make the playoffs? I mean, they have 86 points. Montreal has 71. That's the 5-12 matchup. If the Penguins lose, sorry, you don't make the playoffs. It's a qualifying round. That'll be graded as a no. That's a loser if you had the Penguins to make the playoffs. So, I mean, this is going to be – it's same like Edmonton. Edmonton's playing Chicago in the 5-12. what, the Blackhawks had a 1% chance to make the playoffs if under the normal format. So, I mean, that Edmonton has a comfortable lead over Chicago with the points, and Edmonton's the five. That could be another vicious beat. All those teams were close in the West, and there was still some time left. But definitely Pittsburgh jumps out. And you're right, Mitch, about all the stuff that's still – it's a fluid situation. Are they going to have brackets or reseeding? I think they just have to go reseeding and get rid of the brackets. You also have the first two rounds going to be best of five or best of seven. They're still looking at that. So and also all the hub cities. They're going to play two hub cities, and they have the list down to 10. Gary Bettman said it's a non-starter if Canada won't lift their restrictions with the quarantine for 14 days when you enter. So Vancouver and Edmonton would be out. I know Cook County has issues with their COVID numbers. Chicago's on the list. You think Vegas would be a great spot, Matt? Matt, I'm surprised Los Angeles is on the list. I mean, these guys can't get any. All those restaurants, what are you going to just get takeout? You can't dine in anywhere in Los Angeles.
When I look at this list, I say, all right, let's start eliminating cities here that have no chance. Okay. Uh-huh. And then you can whittle it down to, you know, the final four or five that have a serious chance. Just cross LA off the list. That's not going to happen.
I would agree.
Okay, cross Chicago off the list. That's not going to happen. Chicago's been under a complete lockdown, and the mayor there is kind of crazy. I just can't see Chicago and L.A. even having a chance. I do think Canada's probably going to lift that 14-day quarantine rule at some point. So Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton could be back in the picture. I don't think Minneapolis, considering everything that's going on in that city right now, is going to be a serious contender. I'm gonna scratch that off the list. So you get down to, you wonder, you know, Pittsburgh's a viable option. I think Vegas obviously has got to be one of the favorites, and hopefully that happens because the NBA apparently is not going to take advantage of Vegas. So I would think the NHL is smart enough to do that. You guys brought up a couple of interesting points. You know, 2020 has basically been just a bad beat for everybody. All right, you just think about everything that's happened. Yeah. It's a joke. But college basketball futures, some of the NBA futures that turned into bad beats. You got some potential here for some horrendous beats in these hockey futures. And I also thought you brought up a good point about how you can find good numbers on the hockey futures boards. And I've felt this way about golf. Not every sports book has a sharp hockey odds maker, all right? Like at South Point, Dwayne Colucci is a really sharp hockey guy, so he keeps an eye on all the stuff. But at some books, you just don't have a sharp hockey guy, and you fall asleep at the wheel, and you leave good numbers out there, and you guys notice that, and you can pick off those numbers. I felt like not every book has a sharp golf guy. Not every book has a sharp hockey guy, and that's why you can find some opportunities out there when those books don't adjust the numbers quickly enough.
Mitch, Mitch, would you go best of five, best of five, best of five? Because they might go into middle of September here. If they assuming they start in late July, if they can get this up and running.
Sure, I would. Why not? And another thing, again, keep in mind, training camps to resume no sooner than July 1st. I think a lot of people thought last night with this press conference, and they were using this expression, "Hey, hockey's back! I can't wait."
It's not back yet.
It's not back yet. Like, I mean, this, at least they have a plan, though, and that's why it took a long time. But these other leagues, and Paul, you brought up baseball, and you're exactly right, by the way. The more I thought about it yesterday, it's going to be worse than 1994, and it might be tenfold. And the NBA still dragging their feet. Like, they can't at least take some of this, what the NHL announced yesterday, and steal from it, right? They're still hung up on playing 72 games in the regular season over money, right? And getting... like, I don't know. I mean, and all these bottom feeder teams in the NBA that still want to play, just steal this from the NHL and say, it's been almost 3 months now. We're going to scratch the regular season, and here's our plan to move forward so we can crown a champion on 2020.
That's what's irritating about this, Paul. We've talked about this on the show for 6 weeks, how the NBA just needs to move forward and go to the playoffs. You hear all this BS about, the health of the players is the first and foremost priority. It's not the health of the players. It's about making money. The NBA is right now, NBA is trying to figure out ways to maximize revenue. And the number one priority is not protecting the players' health. And that's why you're hearing guys like Damian Lillard say, hey, if we don't have a chance to make the playoffs, I'm not going to play. And I don't blame him because if you don't have anything to guess, it's a risk-reward situation. If there's no reward out there, why would you risk anything? So I think a lot of guys would sit out, and to me it makes no sense for the NBA to include anything beyond 16 teams.
Yep, and you saw what Lillard said yesterday. We'll get to that's a mess. All these situations, it's confusing. I got an idea. Oh, I have an idea. Yeah. Here's my idea.
Right.
Okay, that's enough. Let's look at some of these matchups. And the other thing, the round robin now with the top four teams, this is why they have to have reseeding and get rid of the brackets. Why are they going to bust their ass and play these round robin games if they can't get the one seed, you know? I mean, that'd be a big deal if you're reseeded. Hey, Montreal shocks Pittsburgh. Okay, I get the one. Now I draw Montreal. I mean, that's how they're going to have to do it. Right. Now, the 5-12 is Edmonton against Chicago. I love the Oilers at $1.50 at the Westgate, although Chicago did win the season series. But I would like Edmonton in that particular matchup in the 5-12. The Nashville, keep it up, guys. Nashville and Arizona is the 6-11. They split 1-1. Vancouver, Minnesota is the 7-10. Minnesota won that series 2-1, and they won 6-1 and 4-2 against Vancouver. You know, again, there's upsets every year in hockey, so nobody's safe. That's why I don't have a problem going best of five, and why seeds don't matter as well. You saw what happened last year with Tampa, please. Calgary and Winnipeg, the 8-9, and Winnipeg won the only meeting head-to-head against Calgary. In the East, how about this? The Rangers, Mitch, the Rangers went 4-0 against Carolina. How about that? That's great. And there's the Western Conference Series prices. Flames $1.20. Oilers $1.50. Nashville $1.25. And the Canucks $1.30. In the East, the Rangers went 4-0 against Carolina. Toronto in the 8-9 went 1-0-1 against Columbus. That'd be a hell of a matchup. I lean Toronto there in that one. Pittsburgh is the 5. Montreal's the 12. Pittsburgh won 2 out of 3 against Montreal. I like the Penguins at -190. I would lay that. Again, Montreal, just lucky to be part of this. The 6-11, again, the 11 swept the 6. The Islanders swept Florida, and that's the 7-10. And then I mentioned the 8-9 with Toronto and Columbus, and that's a sexy matchup, 8-9. I love that. I love this. Hope this happens. This would be huge for the NHL. And hey, listen, to be first would be, it'd be huge. And we've been talking about Russian table tennis and instant immediate gratification. Can you imagine if hockey is the first one back, what it would be with first period totals and all the, and it's, you know, qualifying kind of playoff hockey. It'd be terrific. Be terrific for hockey. Awesome. And a great job by Bettman. Let's finish the job now.
Oh, hockey's been progressive. Even just think about the NHL being the first of the major pro leagues to come to Las Vegas. And how has the NHL benefited from the Vegas market? Big time, right? So I think the NHL has really done a good job here in the past few years of being more progressive, especially much more so than baseball.
Right, absolutely. And what the Oakland A's did yesterday was reprehensible. Yeah. We'll get to that coming up. But imagine the sweat you got. Mitch, how many sweats do you have here that you're waiting on Bettman in the league to decide what to do? Unbeknownst to me, if the Flyers would have beat the Bruins on that final game, it could have been $5,000 for me. I'm glad they didn't win that game now, looking at it, not knowing how the league is going to rule, because we were taking 10, 11, 12 to 1 on the Flyers for a week span. I mentioned the 3-1 that was available on the Golden Knights, and they're coming out and they tweeted, hey, we're the division champs, all the Blues stuff. So I will see. Great job by Chris Andrews at the South Point, but still William Hill and Caesars waiting on the league to decide what they're going to do, because they didn't have the 82 game stipulation in their rules, how they're going to grade division winners.
I have a ton of tickets that are open right now. And for the record, I did reach out yesterday to DraftKings, FanDuel and PointsBet, and what their plans are. And they haven't, I heard from FanDuel and that was it. I haven't heard back from the other two books yet. And to your point, by the way, Paul, about possibly reseeding, think about that with the Oilers Blackhawks matchup. The Blackhawks with 72 points, 5 points back in last place of the Central Division as a 12 seed. Imagine if they, you know, pull off an upset here in round one and then they don't reseed, right? And they don't have to play the one seed overall. Now, that's just, it's total nonsense, right? By default. And because St. Louis had 94 points, that's 22 points more than the Blackhawks in their own division. Imagine if they don't reseed and they would just stick with the plan overall, what the bracket would look like. No, you can't do that. No. You have to give the 12 seed Blackhawks to St. Louis.
Right.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Right. Yep. Totally agree. Yes. I'm with you. Yep. And this is, yeah, so you'd get and let's say for argument's sake, the 4 is Dallas. I mean, that's a bad break for Dallas. Actually, well, correction. That's a bad beat for St. Louis, and that's a break for Dallas if that happens. I mean, Dallas would be a big winner. It's like, well, we get the 12 right away. you know, is a shock Edmonton. So yeah, you have to get rid of the brackets and reseed, especially if the round robin's going to mean something as well. And again, I would go best of five, because who knows if you have to pause for a week or two or whatever. But Bettman said they're ready to go. Bettman said they're going to spend millions on testing as well.
Good. You know, Gary Bettman, I think, gets booed like relentlessly in every single NHL market. Not yesterday. He couldn't have gotten booed everywhere yesterday, right? Just to actually be the first guy out. And, you know, I'll say second after Dana White, because Dana was so good about getting the UFC back up and running. But to actually come out with this, you know, it's a pretty detailed plan because we still have so many unknown things. But I applaud the NHL for doing what they did yesterday. And I just hope to God now that we actually get these games in, you know, a little bit more than a month.
Yeah,
month
Matt's
and a half,
right.
I guess.
I think Canada will relax those restrictions as well. Yeah. And Bettman said they'll have an announcement on the two hub cities in 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, if you think about it, Mitch, like you just said, the guys who've come through big time this summer have been Dana White, Roger Goodell, and Gary Bettman. Mm-hmm. And nobody looks worse than Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred.
Yep. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Paulie Howard, along with Matt Eumanns today. We'll get some UFC picks in 45 minutes as they have another card coming up this weekend. We'll talk about the NBA, the latest on their sport. We think what is the latest. Again, as Paul said, it's so confusing. I can't keep things straight. Major League Baseball, and Paulie runs down win some, lose some. That's coming up next. You can always email the show, ftm@vsin.com, ftm@vsin.com. Here we go. Time now for win-lose.
Rough night.
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night. How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money looks back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
The insanity continues in Bundesliga. Wolfsburg plus 350. They won 4-1. Easy victory. Frankfurt Freiburg draw plus 275. That was 3-1 in the second half. 3-3 final. Lose some. Leverkusen 120 up to 140. Routed 4-1 at home. Of course, you can't bet on the home team. Frankfurt under from 3 down to 2.5. 3-3 final. Bremen. Gladbach over 2.5 up to 3, 0-0. Nothing going in that one. Home teams now lose some. 22 matches since the return. The home team has won 3. 3 wins in 22 matches. One of them an $8 favorite. Are you serious?
Wow.
Potential bad beats. Flyers to win the division, 12-1. It came down to that final game. If they would have won that, my God. 1 point behind Washington, lost to Boston in the final home game, ending the night. They had a 9-game winning streak coming into that game. And Red Wings points under 39 points. What a rocking chair winner that was. That's now a refund. And the Sharks points. They had 63 points. I bet over 94.5. Thank God I got the refund on that one. That's a gift from the gods. Win some. How about this? I don't know if this is real, but I love it. I hope it's not edited. Uh-oh, we got a bear on the loose going up to the Mercedes. And then people start screaming to get away, and the bear freaks out. He starts backing up and runs into the woods. They scared him. You can't really hear it, but people are screaming. The owners of the car about, get away, get away. And then the bear freaks out after everyone's screaming at the top of their lungs. Nothing. Look at him. Okay, I better eat. More bear video. Look at this. Here's Mitch. It Watson going for a drive, and that's in Wisconsin. Look at that big fella.
Look at how huge he is.
Oh, wow.
Most people that saw the video, here in the state, they figured that goes about 350 pounds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's huge.
That is great. Wow. That is awesome. This is not awesome. This is good for a laugh. Look at that. At the park. Got the parachute. Uh-oh, Matt. Matt, watch now. Okay. Watch the wind kick up as the poor person's on the ground. There you go. It doesn't end. It does not end. Look at the guy filming having a cackle. He's having a good time. Look at this. The parachute keeps dragging the person all the way through the park. All the way up. There's some winsome. Oh, God. Lewsome. I said it was reprehensible what the A's did. How about this Jeff Passan tweet? What the A's did with the minor league. Yeah. There are 200 players in a minor league system. Paying each $400 a week for June, July, and August is $5,000 per player. To pay every minor leaguer would cost the A's $1 million. Their owner's worth $2 billion. Nope, sorry. Not going to happen. And what the A's did with their whole staff as well.
Yep. By the way, Paulie. Hey,
sorry.
To this day, for some inexplicable reason, fans just like, yeah, okay, I get it. They always take the side of the owners, which we've talked about just forever. I mean, it makes no sense.
Yep. And Marcus Stroman, his tweet, not looking promising. Hope everyone stay safe. Brighter times ahead. NHL had a great day. Baseball, not so much. And even Jeff Passan was gloomy, Gus, on SportsCenter last night. And one more. I like this tweet from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. It is loose. Why are we talking about would LeBron be a great? He wasn't going to play. But you could say Jerry Jones gave him a contract and all this other business. He wasn't going to walk away and maybe risk the injury and say, well, I'm bored right now. I'll wait till the NBA comes back. I'll play a couple months for the Cowboys.
Obviously, that was all... I think a reaction to Michael Jordan playing baseball, right? Isn't that why that story came up last week?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Well said. Please.
All right. Follow the money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. So where is the NBA sitting now after the NHL's announcement yesterday? Who the hell knows? We'll go over what we think is their latest game plan. And some reason the bottom feeders want to keep playing and the league might be, yeah, okay, sure. I don't know. You figure it out. We'll talk about it coming up next. Manscaped.com has the tools for your family jewels. You can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Again, that's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code VSIN. So where's the NBA in all of this? Well, Charles Barkley said this week that he's 100% sure the NBA is going to resume their season. Adrian Wojnarowski had a story yesterday. I mean, he included everything in it, right? Because he obviously had to. But he points out in the story that the idea of 30 teams returning for the resumption of the season in Orlando has lost some momentum, but it still has a significant lobby. The Hawks, the second worst record in the Eastern Conference, third youngest roster, they want to play.
Who cares? Who cares if the Hawks want to play?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Right. He writes, the Cavaliers, they're eager to return. Detroit wants to get back to training camp and
okay.
some games.
Who wants to watch those teams?
Exactly. Yeah. No. And there are a bunch of other teams. He included Washington and Charlotte. He actually had Portland. Well, okay, so he wrote the story when Portland said, yeah, we want to play. And then Lillard comes out and says, I'm not playing. If this comes down, not going to make the playoffs. Sure, right. So, guys, I don't know. I mean, they throw out the idea of maybe 30 teams coming back, and then there's one more plan where there could only be 16. The idea they want to just get to 72 regular season games, and that's still a possibility because of the network, TV deals, is ludicrous in my opinion.
Yep. I love this Bob Valgaris tweet. and was kind of going against Cuban. As Vulgaris works for the Mavs. Well, who wants to see a play-in tournament in the East? And again, the East has sucked for 20 years. It's enough already. That's why they should seed 1 through 16. But in any event, look at this. The ninth-place Eastern team is 16 games below 500 through 64 games. The 12th seed is 24 games under 500. He's right. Come on. I'm sorry. The Wizards, the Hornets, the Bulls. You don't deserve to be in any kind of play. I mean, what does it mean? Look at the Mavs, who've been a great story. Dallas is the seventh seed in the West, right? I mean, they've had a great season, and they're 40-27. They're going to play in a play-in tournament, maybe in a team 8 games under 500 could upset them in a one-game situation. Oh, sorry, guys. You're out. You don't make it. I mean, this is ridiculous. Look at this. You're 7-8 games behind these teams. You've played 65 games. I mean, and like Mitch said, Lillard, I'm not coming back. Why would teams who are completely out of this risk their lowering or doing something to their lottery odds as well for a meaningless 5, 6, 7 games? The fact that this is on the table to begin with is an abomination. Do better, NBA. Come on.
I'm amazed by this because there's so many smart guys in the room here. You know, Adam Silver is a very sharp guy. Mark Cuban is too, and you go on and on and on. Cuban's saying, well, I've got a plan here to put 30 teams in the playoff. You know, bring 30 teams back in action. Why? What's the point? In the NBA, they are making this much more complex than it needs to be. I think it could be really simple, right? Keep it simple, stupid. And that's the point here for the NBA. Just send the teams to the playoffs as the standings sit right now, and forget about the greedy aspect of trying to get to 72 games and the revenue you were trying to generate here. That's out the window, all right? Just let's get the playoffs over in 4 to 5 weeks. And I think this is so easy to structure, and they are making it so difficult in the NBA because you got too many voices in the room. You got 15 people, and everybody's got a different plan. Adam Silver needs to step up and say, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Right, and they have a great relationship, and it's refreshing. Unlike baseball, there's a great relationship between the players and the commissioner and also the owners. So, but what do you think of this group stage idea, both of you? Apparently, this is picking up some steam as well, that they would do a group stage, and then, I mean, some people are anti-group stage as well because somebody could get hot, and then a bad team could get in, and you could have a group. A good team not make it because they're in a tough stage, like soccer in a World Cup. I hope they don't do that. I don't like that either.
I don't like that at all.
I think it's a stretch. And by the way, the World Cup in 2018, the number one seed overall, I believe, was Germany. They got knocked out. In 2014, it was Spain, and they got knocked out of that, their whole setup. So one more thing in the story, by the way. So think about how long this could push back the season, fellas. Woj writes, there's a possibility the first games played in Orlando could be in August, not July.
Yeah.
So if they don't even start games until August, are they right? They're going to play until what? Middle September, end of September at the earliest.
Longer than that.
I would think so. Right. I'm trying to be like conservative on this. I think they actually probably go into October when the season typically gets underway. So could they actually start the next season on Christmas Day, or would they have to say, hell, we're just going to wait until the Super Bowl's over with and start in February?
Yeah, I don't get this at all. I mean, we're talking late May. I think the NBA should be up and ready to fire and ready to restart start the playoffs by the middle of July at the latest. Why can't you do it by the middle of July? Then you're done by mid-August, late August, before football season starts, and then you have more time to plan for the 2020-21 season. I think you should be able to find a way to get the NBA playoffs over with by mid to late August, and then you're out of the way when football season starts.
Well, yep. They want that 72 number is because they want that right, money from the regional networks to get up to 72. But I don't know how that even enters the thought process. The other thing, I think one hub's a bad idea, and it's not sour grapes because it's going to be Orlando. Mm-hmm. I think one hub's a bad idea. You saw the guy from the Premier League. The guy went out shopping and he got the virus. I mean, what? We're gonna have all one people here in the one hub and just in Orlando. So
that's another thing, Paul. And we've talked about that on this show too. Why would you not put the Eastern Conference like in Orlando and the Western Conference? yeah, we're biased. We want it in Vegas, but you can put it somewhere else if it's not Vegas. Maybe put it in Salt Lake City. Who knows? But put the East in Orlando and the West somewhere out here. I don't know why you would put every team in one location.
Go ahead. Yep. I was going to say, Woj also wrote this. There's concern about putting a bad television product on television.
Yeah, exactly right.
So, if that's the case, why? Because the teams at the bottom, are they going to actually go out there and have integrity and do their best to win these games and play all of their young stars that they have? And he writes like there's going to be a lot more Damian Lee than Stephen Curry. For Golden State's sake, I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, you're gonna have a lot of good players sitting out, and you're talking about bad basketball teams that haven't played for 3 or 4 months. They're going to come back and be rusty. It's going to be, in a lot of cases, it's going to be a very poor product. So you would not want anything but the best teams in the league being involved, and that would be the top 16 teams in the playoffs.
Yep. We'll touch on a little baseball and quarterback point spread values, according to South Point Sportsbook Director Chris Andrews, what a quarterback means to the number, coming up next. We will get into Saturday's UFC card coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get best bets from Jordan Sherwood. He's going to be on the program. So, fellas, yesterday, again, felt like a pretty damn good day for the NHL, actually coming up with a plan. NBA, who the hell knows? But if we move forward and we get the NHL to come back, the NBA eventually joins them, and then we get, let's say, the NFL and college football, maybe both sports without fans, and Major League Baseball, they fight, right? The owners and the players can't agree to a deal. This tweet from Jeff Passan will not go over very well. When you consider how many millions of Americans have lost their jobs because of the pandemic, and you see something broken down like this. So a player who would originally make $35 million this year, and the proposal, right, would be come back and we'll pay a $7.84 million. And he broke down the entire list from a guy who makes $563,000 all the way up to $35 million. It doesn't matter how big of a deduction a player is going to take. People in this country will be like, "Are you?" This is why they will hate the players. When they see numbers like this, they'll never side with the owners. They're going to say, screw these players. Wow. It's supposed to be a kid's game. They're supposed to go out there and play for free.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. And that's why the comeback is they're asking Mike Trout to take an 80% pay cut. And Moreno, who's worth, what, $4 billion, just laid off and not paying most of his staff. So, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, wait a second. Hey, Trout, take an 80% pay cut. Meanwhile, I'm letting all these employees go left and right, and I'm a billionaire. Come on.
Yeah, nobody comes out of this looking good. I mean, I think I never take the side of the owners in this because they're obviously, I'm going to say, they're running a business. They're going to do everything they can to spin things their way and make it look like the players are the bad guys. Players are not going to come out of it looking good because they look greedy. You know, and the average person who's making, let's say, $60,000 a year says, I can't believe this guy's crying. He's only going to make $6 million a year instead of $36 million. So nobody comes out of it looking good, but I understand where the players are coming from here. I just don't think it's kind of a lose-lose situation for baseball, let's put it that way. I think at some point both sides have to give in a little bit for the good of the game and the future of the game to try to bring it back. And I think the owner's got to be a little bit more flexible, but right now they're busy trying to make the players look like the bad guys.
Yep. You're spot on. Matt, you wrote for this week in Point Spread Weekly. You talked to Chris Andrews, who's going to join the show a little bit later on. He is the sportsbook director at the South Point where you're sitting doing the show today. Mm-hmm. And you did a good breakdown on Point Spread Weekly. It's available at vsin.com/subscribe. still free, VSiN.com/subscribe. He put a quarterback value on all 32 starters and then compared him to his backup in the league. And you wrote about it, obviously, with analysis on this whole thing. What surprised you the most about his list?
A couple things surprised me. And Chris spent a lot of time on this, by the way. I called him a couple weeks ago and asked him if he could work on this project, and he said sure. And he spent a lot of times tweaking the numbers, and he went back and he would revise it a little bit. I'm going to say the one thing that's going to jump out to a lot of people here, and we've talked about it previously on this show, about Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton only being a 2-point drop-off. Go all the way down to the Cowboys on this chart. So the biggest point differential drop-off, we'll talk about value to the betting line, is 7 points, and that's three quarterbacks at the top. That's Tom Brady to Blaine Gabbert, Russell Wilson to Geno Smith, and Big Ben to Mason Rudolph. Go all the way down to the Dallas Cowboys in the bottom third of the list. Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton is a 2-point drop-off. I think that's going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be a $30 million difference in salary or more than that in a couple of weeks. I was surprised by Lamar Jackson only 3.5 points to bet more than RG3.
I think what Chris explained there, he said this is a one game situation. Okay, so it's if Lamar Jackson misses one game and RG3 has to step in for him, he's saying it's a 3.5 point differential. I also thought it might be a little bit higher, you know, like 4.5 or 5, something like that. But Chris went with 3.5 for one game. He said if RG3 replaces Lamar Jackson for more than one game, it probably would be much more of a differential.
Yeah. I mean, this is tough. It's a tough assignment. But, I mean, Wentz, 5 points more than Hurts. Hurts has never played before. You know, some of these are difficult. What do you do with Burrow? Burrow and Finley. I mean, Finley, when he was thrown in there, had issues. But Burrow's never played. Some of this is tough.
How about Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love? How do you make that number?
Another one. Yeah, another good point. Yeah, sure. I think it'd be more than 6. We'll be, you know, guys haven't played. What are you going on?
Were you guys surprised by Mahomes' drop off to Chad Henne? It was only 5 points. And again, I would go back and say Matt Moore's not on the roster right now. I think Matt Moore has a higher power rating than Chad Henne. Mm-hmm. And I think you can make the case for one game, maybe it's a 5-point drop off. But Chad Henne, hasn't he been around long enough? I think it should be more than 5 on that one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say the same thing. Chris's point there was the Chiefs have so many weapons, and Andy Reid is so good at preparing backup quarterbacks that for one game, he thinks it would be 5. Again, if it was more than one game, it'd probably end up being more points.
Boy, I got to tell you, I think Paulie and I in this Bears boat with Nick Foles, it feels like a sinking ship, but I think we're right on this. How many people have not only said, you know, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the starting quarterback in Week 1 for the Bears, but Chris Andrews has a 0-point drop-off between Trubisky and Foles? I think Trubisky is arguably one of the worst starting quarterbacks in football. Nick Foles gets no credit.
You know, and Ed Sammons at the Westgate Superbook said he doesn't like Foles at all. And Ed's an Eagles guy, and Foles was Super Bowl MVP for the Eagles. I'm not saying Trubisky is better than Foles, but I think Trubisky wins that. You know, there's the DraftKings prop we're looking at. Bears Week 1 starter, Foles -$3, Trubisky +2. And I think Trubisky is going to be the Week 1 starter because I believe the training camp competition is going to be rigged. You know, they it is, you know, Ryan Pace moved up to number 2 in the draft to get this guy. You can't give up on him now, because if you do, you're kind of slitting your own throat as a general manager and saying, all right, I blew it. I moved up to number 2 to draft Trubisky, and now I have to give up on him in year 4. I think Trubisky's going to win the job because it's rigged. And they're going to say, you know, with the truncated offseason, that Nick didn't have time to come in and learn the system. Mitchell's got a head start. You know, Mitch is our guy. We're going ahead with him. And then 5 weeks into the season, if Trubisky still sucks, then they're going to make the switch at that point and bring in Foles, and he's going to be the guy to carry the Bears, to lead the Bears the rest of the season. I think Trubisky's going to get like a 4 to 6 week trial. If he's not getting it done, then I think the Bears cut bait and move forward with Nick Foles.
I thought they were better off going with Chase Daniel the last couple of years. He's now in Detroit, and there's another one, Matt. Here's another guy who's won nothing in his life. Matt Stafford, with over $100 million in salary, what he's made in earnings, and it's only a 3-point difference between Stafford and Chase Daniel.
Yep.
There's another one on there.
There's quite a few interesting ones. What did you guys think of the Drew Brees, Jameis Winston number at 4?
Well, the Bridgewater thing didn't help. They went 5-0 with Bridgewater last year.
Right.
I
think that's a fair number. I
would say this. I mean, Winston was a turnover machine his whole life, and I know people want to laugh at him for the 30 last year, and rightfully so. Like 30, I think if he played a full season, 30 is tough to throw again. And I think with Sean Payton, he would cut back on the INTs and the sloppy play. And Brees is now, going to be 41 years old? He did throw, 27 touchdowns, though, last year in 11 games, which is awesome still for a guy his age. But I couldn't put 6 or 7 on it. I couldn't do that. So I think probably 4, maybe 5 might be the right number there.
I don't disagree with that number. Actually, I think it's a bigger drop off to Taysom Hill. Because even though we like Taysom Hill in that, role where he's like a jack of all trades, I'm not sure that as a long-term NFL starter, Hill can exhibit the passing accuracy you need to run an efficient offense. I mean, have we seen him for an extended time prove that he can be an accurate passer down the field? I don't think so. I love Taysom Hill. When he was a BYU, he's my favorite player in college football. I still like the guy a lot. He's a hell of a football player. I just don't know if he can throw with the Drew Brees, the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL. Is Taysom Hill going to be accurate enough to carry the Saints offense? I'm not sure about that. We haven't seen that yet. So I actually think it's a little bit more of a drop off to Taysom Hill. And then don't you think it's somewhat predictable sometimes what the Saints are going to do when Taysom Hill lines up a quarterback too?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I do.
Good point.
Yep. Guys, I saw that ESPN FPI came out with their power ratings yesterday in the NFL. Their numbers, and it's based a lot on regular season win totals, but they give the Chiefs a 21% chance to win the Super Bowl. It's the second largest preseason favorite since they began doing this back in 2015, behind the 2017 Patriots, who they gave a 32% chance to win the Super Bowl before the season started. Wow. They have the Ravens, number 2 on the list, 17% chance, followed by the Saints, number 3, Niners, number 4, and Cowboys, number 5 on the list. Best chances to win the entire thing. And they had the Browns, I believe. That was their sneaky team this year. Surprise team.
Oh, here we go with this again. Oh, jeez. Who knows about Stefanski now either? I mean, that's I know Matt likes to call him Larry the Cable Guy, but you get Kitchens out of there. But who knows what's if it, I don't I'm not going to say Stefanski's this great offensive mind that people are making him out to be either.
Right.
I mean, he was just it was common sense in Minnesota. What was it, DeFilippo, whoever it was? It's like run the ball, run the ball. Well, you can't throw every single down with Cousins. So it actually had a good running game, and then Stefanski wasn't one-dimensional, and the Vikings moved the ball and had a good offense all of a sudden. It was common sense.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you think the Browns would have been better off going for a guy like Mike McCarthy or Kevin Stefanski?
Dear God, I don't know. That's a tough guy. I don't know. I tell you, they should have kept Greg Williams. He's a lunatic, but they were winning games with him. They need a guy who's going to crack skulls like Greg Williams. That's what that organization needs and those players.
I'll tell you what I think the Browns need is Michael Lombardi. He would probably be a better coach. I know he's a better GM.
We'll break down the UFC card. Best bets, Jordan Sherwood on the program coming up next.